Check this baby out.
The planet has a fever.
And the only prescription is more cowbells.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Hello.
Oh, no, they're back.
Testing.
No, yeah, no. Oh, yes.
1, 2, 1, 2.
Gigi Edgley, I play Chiana on Farscape, and I'm the host of Jim Henson's Creature Shot Challenge, and you're listening to Two Downies Dudes.
Julian, what's a shithawk? Some kind of a shitty bird that swoops down and puts poop onto you.
I'm Eric.
I'm Robbie, and this is podcast number 59 of Two Downies Dudes for May 23rd, 2015. On this episode, we're joined by local amateur boxer and artist Chris Sorrow to talk about his latest win in the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight. Then Eric and Rob talk shit about Jeremy Hendrickson and discuss movie and porn quality.
My dude!
Alright, so, yeah, we've got Chris Sorrow back on the podcast.
What's going on?
Coming hot off of a win down in New York.
Yeah.
So, let's see. You fought in Times Square at BB King's against a local New York native.
James Ling. James the Jet Ling.
James the Jet Ling.
Yeah.
Do you have an official nickname or...
moniker.
I'm the Down East Dick Smasher.
Dick Smasher.
No, that's Chris Perry's
name. Hit below the belt.
No, I don't. No, someone called me the Beast from Down East on my...
I saw that.
And so I actually was like, that's kind of interesting. But no, they asked me if I want, like, what my name was so they could introduce me with it down there. And I said, I was so nervous, I was like, just say my name. and I don't have one yet. I need one, though.
I think that sounds good. Yeah, I saw that somebody commented that on your Facebook, so I kind of stole it and posted that when we... posted on the podcast page for you.
Oh, yeah.
Because that does sound good.
I like
that
it.
Makes
yeah.
sense.
It rhymes.
Right? But it is, yeah, when they ask you, like, you can't come up with something on the spot. That would be a super douchey thing to do, to come up with your own.
Yeah, and
nickname.
You're not supposed to come up with it. And that's one thing. Like, you see, in, I won't say the sport, but the most common sport out there today. Kids are just making up their own names, and that's like, that's not how it goes. You either don't have a name until someone gives you a name, or you just go your whole career and you never,
right?
You don't make it up. You don't sit home on Google.
Yeah.
Right. What rhymes with Johnson?
Right. yeah, there's got to be a reason for it.
Yeah. Like my Marcus Davis said, you know, like he's called the Irish hand grenade, and that was from an old coach he had said years ago, you know, because he's a little Irish kid and used to knock people out. So it's like, it's fitting.
Makes sense. Yeah. So the dude that you fought had what, almost three times as many fights under his belt as you did?
Yeah, he was 5-5 for our fight, and now he's 5-6.
Ooh.
So, and I was 3-1.
Yeah.
That was the 2-1 underdog.
Wow.
So
and, that's awesome.
Yeah. And when I got there, you know, my coaches, Devin and Heather Hardy, they were completely, you know, oblivious to setting up the opponents. That's not their field. So when I told them my opponent and the amount of fights he had, they didn't seem worried at all. They were very confident about it, which helped me, you know, just stay calm and cool, calm, and collective for the whole thing. But I could tell once I got there that everyone involved in the promotion, that this was their boy, their little, gotta be careful what I say, but it was like their little hometown man, you know. Everyone was there rooting for him. The guy raised the most money for this whole event, and so people were coming up, rubbing his shoulders, talking in his ear, but looking at me, because I was sitting behind him, telling the kid, oh, you're gonna do great, looking me in the eyes. I'm sitting there thinking, oh, he is gonna do great. and he didn't. It was crazy. Went out there and dropped him in the first minute, which kind of set the tone, won me the fight. Went a 3-round decision, but I every time I chose to attack, I went to knock him out with every blow, every right, uppercut, straight right, left hook, I threw to knock him out. And so the ones that landed, you know, I think that's what really won me the fight. Just landed the most vicious blows. He landed a lot of little pitter-patter shots. So,
right.
You guys saw, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, we just watched the video, and we'll post it up on our website when we post the podcast. But, yeah, you definitely hit him with a nice uppercut that dropped him, and then another big, big body shot that lifted him off his feet, hooked to the body.
It felt good. The ref got in the way of that big shot, though.
Yeah, I know. It was, like, the best shot of my career. And the ref was standing directly in front of the cameraman. But
you definitely saw the after effects of it.
Yeah.
With him on all fours, crawling around the ring.
Getting up from his knees, and and you could feel the impact. So, yeah, it was fun. It was nice to do it with my family front row. Right. That was the best part.
And this is it was a charity fight, right?
Yeah, this is for the Give a Kid a Dream Foundation that was started in 1991. And what it does is, like, this night in particular, we raised about $100,000 for this foundation. Gives all the kids in the inner city. They have to be referred to by a priest or a doctor, a cop, a teacher at school. Some kind of official needs to refer them to us. But they come to Gleason's. They get full training, all their gear. Everything's paid for. Tutoring, everything's paid for. They get to go to summer camp up in the Catskills, learn how to box. You know, it's a nice getaway, an expensive camp. They do an awesome job up there. They got a spa, everything up there. It's a pro boxing camp, too.
Wow.
And all these kids get to go free of charge.
That's
so
awesome.
It takes them out of the ghetto and, you know, any kind of hardship they have going on. And it gives them the opportunity. It's up to them, you know. As I saw when I was there, you get to see, you know, young kids goofing off. And they don't joke around there. They let you know, you're about to get kicked out of this thing. That we're here to help you. Yeah. And I got to meet one of the products, a kid who just got a full scholarship to NYU. And he was a product of this program. And, you know, helped him as a kid all the way on up. And now he's this respectable young man, full scholarship to NYU. That was
awesome.
Exciting to see.
It makes it worth
it. Be a part of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
To be a part of something like that felt pretty cool. So do it again next year.
There you go.
Yeah.
Nice. That had to have been intimidating. I mean, that was probably just the icing on the cake, the fact that he had more fights under his belt than you. But I mean, you were going into, you know, his territory, basically. You were in an unfamiliar place. You're away from your family, away from your son.
Mm.
And, you know, you were telling me it was kind of, you had to, like, wrap your head around it and get your mental game strong. Because that could be, you know, those are plenty of reasons to give up and just be like, all right, this guy's going to beat me. And it sounds like at one point you kind of may have had that mentality, like, oh, shit, what did I get myself into?
Yeah,
but
somehow
you, like, pulled out of it and came through.
Yeah, by the grace of God, that's all I can say. It was, I was blooming with confidence the weeks leading up to it. Anyone around me would say, you know, I was, nobody could beat me, was my mentality. I was ready to fight anybody. And then I get down there, and it's, and I've been used to the last, you know, 5 months traveling down there every month. But this time, you know, I went down alone, but I stayed right in Brooklyn. I wasn't staying with any family in Connecticut and stuff to go back to. So every day and night for 7 days before this fight, it was just me alone in this massive city walking around. I tried to go to a different spot of the city every day and explore. I also had to cut 13 pounds in those 7 days, so I didn't get to, like, have good pizza and, you know, pig out. I had to starve myself running and working out every day, you know, and try to fill up my time that I wasn't in the gym training. And so I was at the gym from in the morning for about 3 hours, and I'd come back every night for about 3 hours. And then my off time, I was walking about 7 miles a day, drinking tons of water and eating chicken breast and greens. And so, yeah, it was, the day of the fight was very nerve-wracking for me. I woke up, and that was the most nerves I've ever had to deal with. It was scary, I put it that way. Yeah, it was. I didn't know what I was getting myself into, and I started asking myself all those questions, like, ah, geez, what did you sign yourself up for? And I just stayed very calm, and I walked out to the ring and got in there. And once we started going, I realized, oh shit, I've seen all this before. This ain't nothing. A jab's been thrown at me every way a jab can be thrown at me. a right hook's been thrown every way you can throw a right hook at me. I thought some magical stuff was going to happen when I got in there. When I was moving around, I was like, oh, shit. Okay, let me just try. Boom. First time I tried that right hand, it worked. So it was my confidence went through the roof after that. But yeah, it was quite the ordeal. Learned a lot about myself. Yeah, for sure.
So who was it that you trained with while you were down there?
Devin Cormick, and who's WBO champ, Heather Hardy, who's got a fight the end of this month coming up on NBC at the Barclays Center. She'll be defending her title. And Devin himself's a 3-time world champ kickboxer, trained his younger sister to be world champ, WBO boxing world champ. So the guy is just, you couldn't ask for a better trainer. The guy's awesome. He knows his stuff. And I learn something every time we interact. I walk away just my mind blown. Wow. On I've been at this now, like I've said before, 8 years, and for this guy to take everything I have and basically flip it all around and say, no, do it this way, and then I put faith in what he says, and I go out and I beat this guy. It's like, shoo.
Wow,
it's kind of cool stuff, right? Yeah. There. He was so calm and confident that we were going to win after watching me sparring at Gleason's. He saw how I reacted to things and stuff, and he just seems so calm and calm. I was like, well, I guess if you are, yeah, I will.
That must have helped.
So, but yeah, it went my way. I won all 3 rounds. So.
Right. That's going to be quite a crash course, too, to go from basically somebody that you really don't know to have like 1 week to have them prepare you for a fight. You know, that's got to be like a tough relationship to form in that short of a period.
Yeah.
I know you'd been down a few times before, right? Yeah. So had you met those guys before?
Every time, yeah. Every time I'd gone there, I'd gotten working with them and stuff. So
right.
I don't know anyone else there but them. So it helped. I had done artwork for Heather a while back for her logo. And well, it's still a constant progress we're working on right now. And because of that work, that artwork that I just kind of volunteered.
Yeah.
They told me I'd never, never have to pay a penny for training. Even Gleason's doesn't charge me a gym fee because I come from Maine.
Oh, nice.
So it's all for free.
Oh, that
helps. And so it's like, man, to get that kind of training for free, you'll never forget that stuff. So it's, it looks good. It looks good in your record fighting in New York.
Right.
Fighting on venues like BB King's. I'm very fortunate.
Yeah. It definitely took a lot of discipline too, I know, self-discipline for you, because in between your trips down to New York, you were having to train kind of solo up here. You know,
yeah.
You weren't officially training with any boxing gym around here. I know you're putting in work at Acadia Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu,
right.
And you were doing circuit training with Nick there, right?
Yep. That was basically it. It was just... in every one of my fights, it seemed like the skill was there. It was my wind, my lungs, and my cardio is
right.
What always seemed to needed work. So for this time around, I figured, I'm getting my skill work and technical work in New York, but when I come back home, because I can't take those guys back home with me, just had Nick start me on his circuit training, which is just all explosive, plyometric, bodyweight workouts, kettlebells, battle ropes, all that kind of stuff. And, I mean, my goal the first week was to not puke at the end of them. That was the goal. And when I stopped not puking, then it was, okay, now let's, go from there. Now let's see if I can finish the whole thing without collapsing for 30 minutes. And then, okay, now we got from there. And then it was time to grow. And so that we basically mimicked my fight 3 times over every circuit.
Right.
So when I went out there, it was supposed to feel like a walk in the park, and it was. I could have gone easily another 2 to 3 rounds. And everyone that saw it asked me, like, you could have kept going, couldn't you? Because they were watching me sit down in between rounds and my opponent, and I wasn't sucking anyone. I was good to go.
No, you didn't look gassed at all in that video, I could
tell. Real good.
Yeah.
Endless tank, so... It's finally all coming together. So
absolutely.
Go do it again.
Yeah. Well, it's a good time to plug Acadia Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, too.
Absolutely.
Because you mentioned Nick's circuit training there,
which
looks pretty intense.
Intense.
I have yet to do it because I've been a bit scared, but
intense.
I'm sure that's pretty hardcore.
Not a fan of puking.
No, not particularly. No.
he just, you got to, for, you know, the half hour, 45 minutes here, there, you just give yourself over to him and accept, not in like a Christian evangelist way, give your body over to him for just that time period. Like, don't worry about how tired you're going to get. Just accept you're going to get tired. But at the end of this 30 to 45 minutes, you are going to be a better person. You're going to be more physically fit from every session. And it, because every time we up the ante every time. And everything's calculated. And, you know, if it's 45-second rests one time, it's 35-second rests the next time. The rounds are a minute longer. Yeah. You know, it's constantly getting more intense. And so it's just the best. I mean, it sucks. That's the downside of it. But it's the best kind of physical fitness, I think, out there. Yeah. Like, regimen I've ever been put through.
Nice, yeah.
So,
well, and your regimen that you put us through in your boxing class
is nothing compared to the Saturdays.
That's pretty intense itself.
It's intense,
I mean,
yeah.
Even, you know, for me, it's like, that's pretty hardcore.
Right.
But, and that's a great thing to mention again, too, you know, for anybody that doesn't already know, you know, Chris teaches boxing classes and, you know, gives privates at Acadia Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
Private lessons,
yeah.
What did I say?
Well, you said privates.
He doesn't
that's
give
our
not
term.
Those kind of
yeah.
privates.
I'll show you my privates for 45 an hour.
For the right cost, yeah.
For just a whole hour.
The right price.
You can just stand there. Have at it.
Yeah, it's an all-new service provided at the jiu-jitsu gym.
Yeah.
But, no, Jesus. It's... you know, the boxing class is pretty intense. It's a half hour of plyometrics, usually, and then a half hour of hitting pads. And, you know, worth mentioning, it's good to get you in shape. I mean, it's whipped me into shape because, like you said, the cardio is a big thing. And I had no idea walking in. I was like, oh, I'm in good shape, so I can do this. But it's entirely different. You know, once you spend, it's like the longest 2 or 3 minutes of your life.
Right.
You know, so like you said, you've got to train a lot harder and be prepared for that. So the plyometrics is good, and then the pad work is good too, for kind of general fitness. And then if it's something you're interested in pursuing, there's sparring available afterwards. You know, but your level of involvement is kind of up to anybody that takes the class, you know. Because I've talked to some people about it, and they're like, oh, well, I don't want to get, you know, punched in the face. But it's, you know, that part of it is separate from the class. You
right.
know, the class is just, like, structured.
Right. It's like anything, any sport. You can join the basketball team, and you don't have to go to the NBA.
Right.
You can just play the high school team and not get your hands dirty. You can sit on the bench while, you know, other people starting. Or if you want to go all the way with it, you can. The opportunity is right there for you. But in boxing, there's just more consequences than there is to basketball for going all the way.
Right.
So, yeah, you come to a boxing class, you just want to, you know, just do the class. I don't require anyone to make contact with another person in my class. It's not part of the requirements. It's all drills and techniques and stuff. But then, obviously, like, we offer, and you can always slip. That's, but you shouldn't join a boxing class if you don't accept the fact someone can slip. You may get hit by accident,
right.
You wrong class. But
you should be doing Pilates at the Y.
Yeah, yeah.
But like
yeah,
you said,
Zumba.
You know, you could play basketball and get hit in the face by a ball too by accident. So
right, or you can play it safe and you'll never catch an elbow, but you'll never be getting those awesome layups. I don't know. Trying to relate it to another sport, but yeah, no, we leave it open for everyone. We got, like, last night, Tyson Decker's 13. Kid's doing awesome, real good. He's getting that quick, slick head movement, good footwork, fast, good combos, good punches, and he was getting in some sparring with, was it Richard? I don't know Richard's last name, the one you sparred with.
Yeah.
And it was funny watching him. He's putting it to him, no fear.
That's cool.
No fear, yeah. So it's, leave it up to everyone. Some people, they never have to get punched in the face, but if they're ever put into a corner, if you trained under me, you'll be able to work yourself out of that corner. No
right.
question about it. Yeah, I hate corners, so.
So, I figured we should talk about the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight, because you haven't been on since that fight. We talked about it before, leading up to it, you know, what exactly that fight meant for boxing. And I have to say, starting off, probably one of the highlights of the night was, you know, aside from the fight itself, was before the fight, when they were kind of like showing all the celebrities and everything, they showed Magic Johnson, and I made the comment that, like, he was the healthiest looking guy there. I thought he probably could have jumped in the ring and taken Mayweather, and but then like the very next person they show is Paris Hilton, and I'll throw Jeremy under the bus and say that he commented that she just got AIDS from Magic Johnson 5 minutes ago, which is a fucked up joke to make.
Yeah.
But it was him that said it, so I'll gladly throw him under the bus and say that that was sick, and I didn't laugh. But
absolutely,
how dare you, Jeremy?
Yeah, sicko. But no, aside from that, I think it was. It sounds like it was kind of disappointing for a lot of people that weren't boxing fans. Mostly, I think even boxing fans were disappointed to a degree.
Yeah.
But as you mentioned before, there are other combat sports now that have become more popular because they tend to be more fast-paced, more brutal, you know,
bloodier.
Not as strategic. Yeah. And so I think a lot of people that don't normally watch boxing were thinking, oh, this is going to be the fight of the year. Everybody kept saying this, or the fight of the century even. So people were expecting something big, maybe something more than it was really meant to be.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because, like you said, the majority of people that don't know boxing that were excited about that event were expecting some Hagler Hearns kind of. It seemed like everyone I talked to that weren't real boxing fans had some image of this blood and guts thing that was going to take place. But then everyone you talk to that knows boxing, and especially knows Mayweather and Pacquiao, we all kind of thought it seemed like it was the same around the board, where we knew it was going to be like a safe kind of fight because Mayweather, $180 million, is going to play it safe, you know, and why not? And I figured the only chance of that being an exciting fight was if Pacquiao decided to try to make it an exciting fight. I kind of saw it was going to be kind of what we saw. It stinked to see it that way because I just was hoping that one of them would dig deep and go for that knockout. But so on that end, I think it gave the world, the people that aren't already in the boxing world and kind of expected that to happen, it gave the world a view of, okay, yes, boxing is a safer non-blood and guts. Not that you're looking for blood and guts in boxing, but the target audience today is looking for those knockout blows and stuff. Right. And so that kind of turned, I think, it, if anything, you know, turn them back towards in the direction of, if that's what you're looking for, then watch Glory and UFC and fights like that. Yeah. But anyone who's in boxing right now knows boxing's on a tear with Amir Khan, Glovatkin. Glovatkin's knocking out everyone they put in front of him. So there are some knockout artists in the sport right now that, you know, don't even touch. I mean, the hands in the MMA in that world, in the striking, doesn't even touch some of the hands that are in boxing right now. That was from, like, Glovatkin. That is, I think, he's, like, the nastiest striker with his hands on the planet right now.
Yeah.
Guy's crazy, Triple G. And so there's a lot of up-and-comers right now that are just tearing it up, and they have unbelievable styles that, thank God, are keeping boxing alive, because that fight, Pacquiao Mayweather, that was sad. Tyson summed it up. He said, we waited 5 years for that.
Yeah.
I wanted to see a knockout in the third round. I wanted to see them go for a knockout right off. I didn't picture that coming, but
yeah, that's what the world was hoping for, I think. Yeah. But it's funny because I think of it as, for anybody that played Mortal Kombat as a kid, I think of Mayweather as having like the Mortal Kombat foot sweep, where pretty much like he's figured out a way to just cock block anybody that gets in the ring with
right.
him. And it's not that exciting to watch. You know, but he can do it. It's like, and it doesn't even matter. Like back in the day with Mortal Kombat, you knew going in with somebody like, all right, they're going to do the stupid fucking foot sweep thing 60 times and they're going to beat me.
Yeah.
But you still can't beat them. And that's the thing with Mayweather is everybody knows his strategy. Everybody knows what he does, but he's got it down to such a science that it doesn't matter. If you pick apart his strategy, you just still can't beat it. You know, he's a technical boxer.
Yeah, like the only person I think that came close, minus the lucky shots landed here and there, like Sugar Shane Mosley got Mayweather with a nice shot, and that was it for the whole fight. But Maidana, their first fight, that was the only chance. I think that was your only chance you were going to find a guy who had the balls enough to come in and say, screw it, I'm going to go for it. Right. And he did, round after round after round, until the Mayweather game plan, the foot sweep, just started taking over, and you can only keep those RPMs up so long. So Maidana, by like the eighth round, by like the sixth round, it seemed, was like, you know, already starting to show big signs of wear and tear. And so yeah, he does. He's got himself his, it's like his own little Willy Pep, a guy who just can go 50, 60, 70 fights, it seems, before someone figures him out. But he's going to retire most likely before somebody does. But if he keeps going, somebody will. Yeah. That's how it's the sport. Someone always comes up with the formula, right, and then once they beat him, he's never the same again.
Yeah, I think Mayweather said one more fight in September was his plan.
Yeah,
but then there were talks about a rematch with him and Pacquiao, which
they won't do it.
I don't think
the world won't spend another $1 billion on that.
No, definitely not. It's kind of played out, and I was disappointed too that Pacquiao came out after and said that he had had an injury that, you know, he didn't disclose, which, I don't know, I think it was, maybe it was a rotator cuff injury, actually.
Yeah, something like that.
But, I mean, like you were saying earlier, you know, when you are in a combat sport like that, or basically any type of sport, when you're going to compete, chances are 9 times out of 10, you're going to be injured in one way or another, from the training, from sparring. You know, Mayweather probably had 5 or 6. That's right, the eardrum. Mm-hmm. Mayweather probably had 5 or 6 documented medical conditions going into that fight. You know, they're boxers.
Oh yeah.
So I don't know. I was disappointed that he kind of took that route and said, like, "Oh, I was injured. I want to rematch." Because it's like, you know, he lost.
He's taking,
you know,
too much on between, like we talked about before, his basketball team, his role in the government in the Philippines.
Singing career.
He's just, it's too much. And then with all of that going on, and you still have to do, I mean, media days. That's like, a media day, an actual athlete doesn't get to get a lot of work in. He's supposed to just jump rope and hit the pads in the ring while talking to the cameras. Yeah. You know, true athletes, they like to get to work. And it's like, it seems, you know, I can't imagine that Pacquiao's had all the time in the world to work like he used to back in the day, you know, back in his heyday, back in his Ricky Hatton days, when he was on a tear. So, but it's good. We got to see it. We learned our lesson, and we'll go on. We got some people right now. If they can make Triple G, Golovkin fight Mayweather, I think that's the ticket.
Right.
Golovkin's twice, 3 times the fighter Maidana ever was, but he's knocking everybody out.
Yeah,
and knocking them out in a new way, in a way like people, you can see with his style, it's volume, punching volume, 4, 5, 6 punches, then a power punch, 7, 8, 9 punches, then a power punch. He just barrages you and picks which one's going to be that power shot. It's this cool style, very beautiful. I love it as for the art side of boxing, but that's going to be a hard ticket for Mayweather.
Right.
Hopefully they line that up. I know they're saying that. They're saying Amir Khan, but I'd like to see Golovkin way more than Amir Khan.
Yeah.
Be good stuff. I just want to see him lose.
Oh, no. Yeah. He is. He's like an empire that needs to be taken down.
Yeah.
It's about time.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Well, speaking of art, it looks like you've been working on some stuff lately. I know since the last time we had you on, you did, I saw a mural you did. Looks like it was in a, like a baby room.
Yep. I did a few. I did the Bangor Stonington downtown mural.
Yeah.
And then I did the, underwater mural in the baby's room.
That's the one I was thinking of. Yeah.
Yeah. Now I'm back doing another, one today. And the one that I did, the Bangor Stonington mural.
Yeah.
Doing the shoreline of Stonington. And then we're going up to Bangor right after this to go check out this new gym that wants me doing all their walls. I'm pumped. That's going to be huge.
Oh, cool.
It's going to be like my biggest one yet. I'm pretty pumped about this one. So
nice. So you got another fight coming up.
We do.
When is that one?
July 11th.
July 11th.
Yeah.
That's down in New York again.
Yeah. Hopefully. I mean, that they know that they lined me up in an opponent, but I haven't gotten an opponent or anything in set. But that's what we're shooting for, July 11th in Brooklyn. Should happen. I got first dibs, so.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll keep people posted on the Facebook page.
Cool.
That.
Cool.
But, yeah, it was
good.
We'll
have to get you on after your next win.
Yeah, definitely. Keep it going.
Yeah.
I look forward to not having to do one of these shows where I talk about a loss.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
That'll be good. Keep whooping butt.
Hell yeah. Well, thanks for coming on again, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, sure. Got my beatbox on there.
That's right. Cool. Hell yeah. For the world to hear.
Cool.
Jeremy, you're a fag.
Just spend 20 minutes talking shit about Jeremy.
Jeremy, why would you stand us up? We're like your fucking, like your only friends.
Yeah. Didn't even show up to the podcast.
I just farted. That was on your head, Jeremy.
That was to you.
That was, yeah, that's all you.
Yeah.
I'm going to save that in a fucking plastic bag and give it to you next time I see you.
Yeah, and he gave me some fucking ridiculous excuse like, ooh, kids or something.
Family, right.
I don't even think he has kids.
No,
does he?
I don't think
he
so.
He made that up.
He did. Liar.
Fuck Jeremy. I even had a funny joke worked out ahead of time.
For Jeremy?
Well, it involved Jeremy, and it wasn't going to be as effective if he wasn't here, because I was going to comment and say, wow, I feel like I'm at a fucking white supremacist meeting.
Because of the bald.
It's Aryan as fuck in here.
Right.
Well, not just the baldness, but between, like, you guys being all bald and skinhead-like, and, like, Chris and his lady friend were just, like, just white as fuck.
A lot of whiteness
going
on.
But it just wasn't the same without the second bald guy, so I didn't make the comment about how Aryan the podcast is this week.
Fucking
so
Jeremy
fucking
fucked everything
on my
up.
Joke.
Yeah. Fucking Jeremy.
Yeah, fuck Jeremy. You know, I do have a confession to make, actually, speaking of Jeremy.
You got AIDS?
I do have AIDS.
Oh.
Got it from Magic Johnson. Got it from Paris Hilton.
After she got it from Magic
After
Johnson.
She got, yeah, it's second hand,
right.
Third hand Magic Johnson AIDS. I wonder if that'd be like worth money.
If you could sell AIDS that AIDS
from,
on eBay.
Yeah, I'd be like,
wait,
I can give
what
you,
if you
the
got,
AIDS that Magic Johnson has.
But what if you could get Magic Johnson to sign your AIDS? That would be even better.
Oh, sign that positive, the HIV positive test.
Nice.
That
sign
would be
my
worth
Magic
some
Johnson.
Money. Yeah.
That's great.
But seriously, people collect like... whatever, Bruce Springfield sweat and Tom Hanks'
Bruce Springfield?
Hair.
Who's Bruce Springfield?
Bruce Springfield?
Oh, fuck.
Bruce Springsteen. Springfield. Whatever. I'm sure there's a guy named Bruce Springfield that's
famous. Somebody's
collecting
his sweat?
They're collecting his sweat.
Jesus Christ.
Bruce, yeah, Bruce Springfield. He works in marketing.
Yeah, Millinocket.
Yeah.
It's fucking... somebody's collecting his sweat.
Bruce from accounting. Just collects sweat every day.
But I'm sure you meant Springsteen.
Bruce Springsteen, the boss, yeah.
Right, the boss.
I know, I'm so embarrassed now. See, It's because fucking Jeremy didn't come on.
That's what it is.
I'm all fucked up now.
So your confession, you had a confession.
My confession, yeah. God, my ADD's bad.
Other than your AIDS, it was a something
Other
else.
Than my AIDS. Well, you made the comment to me, I'm kind of cheating on you, but it's your fault.
Okay.
You know how that works. Like, sometimes you cheat on somebody, and it's their fault that you're doing it.
Right.
Because you made the comment to me, you're like, I'm just going to start asking Jeremy to go to movies with me because you don't really get that excited, and I guess, like, I'm not doing it for you anymore, so you've got to go seek it out
well,
through
no,
Jeremy.
No. Let's back that up a little bit. I didn't specifically just say movies. I said comic book movies. Like,
right.
Which is pretty much the only movies I go to.
Exactly.
Well, I would go to other movies. If you said you wanted to go to a movie that you wanted to see, I would go with you. Some Disney flick or some shit.
Well, here's the thing.
Oh, no.
Well, first of all, I tried really hard. That last one that we went to...
You fell asleep. You didn't try that fucking hard.
People
trying hard, I don't think, take naps.
Hey, at Age of Voltron... at the end, I like pretended to get all excited with you. I was like, oh yeah, it's Purple Guy. I love Purple Guy.
Yeah.
He's my favorite. But, no, I made plans with Jeremy. We're going to a movie tomorrow night.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Well, I can't go to a movie tomorrow night. It's a weeknight, and I have to work, and I have a wife, and I have a family.
Yeah, exactly.
So does Jeremy.
That's the plan.
He just likes to ditch his family. He's fucking...
Yes. Well, apparently not tonight.
No, right. He only ditch. He doesn't ditch his family when it comes to hanging out with us.
Right. But he'll go do a little movie with me.
Well, I mean, well, so we'll just put it out there for the listeners. It's possible that in the weeks to come, it will be the fucking Rob and Jeremy podcast.
Yeah. Still two Downey Stewards. We won't even have to change the name.
Right.
I've already thought this ahead plenty.
All right, well, we'll see how it goes.
You're being replaced with another
bald
white
guy. I'm going to guess you're
going to
go see Tomorrowland.
No.
Oh.
Although I do want to go see that this weekend.
Well, so do I. Well, I don't know about this weekend, because I do have stuff going on this weekend.
Oh, actually, I do too. Opening up to camp.
And I have to help my son-in-law move a fence on Sunday. So, but
that sounds way better than a movie.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I have to, because I agreed to, you know, I made a commitment, and I am a responsible adult. So.
Oh, right. Like, if you committed to go to a podcast with your two friends, you would follow through on that.
Exactly.
Okay.
Right. Like, if I said I was going to be here on a Wednesday night to do a podcast with my two friends, right, I'd be here on a Wednesday night to do the podcast.
Right. You would not leave them alone with some big scary boxer.
No. Right. I would be there to get their back and to protect them.
Yeah.
Like a real friend would.
Yeah.
Anyways, I would like to see Tomorrowland. So you and Jeremy are going to the movies. You're cheating on me. You're going. But I see, this is what I don't fucking understand, though. Because I get excited about movies that we go to see together. It's just that you fell asleep at one of the best movies ever. And I didn't get to be like, look over and be like, oh, did you see that? That's fucking awesome. I looked over, but you were,
Matthew.
Right. So, but I don't understand, like, I'm the one that should be going to the movies with somebody else.
Oh, so now you're justified in stepping out of our movie going relationship.
A little more than you are. I didn't fall asleep on a movie you got excited about.
So,
yeah, so oh, was
if
that
your
guilt?
Wife fell asleep during sex, would that then make you justified in...
It would make me sad.
I know, right?
And fucking, like, low self-esteem. That would make me a lot of things.
That would,
like,
give you a complex.
Oh, pretty bad. But I don't know if I'd step out of the marriage. No, either. But it would make me feel... I wouldn't leave the house for a while, I don't think. And I damn sure wouldn't tell anybody,
right,
that's for sure.
But I fall asleep once, and you're willing to step out.
All right. You got me. Anyways, what movie are you going to see?
New Mad Max.
What the fuck? Are you fucking serious?
So why don't you come?
What time's the movie?
I think we're going to go...
Midnight?
Sit down and... No, we're going to go see it at Real Pizza, I think, at 6.
6 o'clock.
Yep.
Tomorrow. Thursday, 6 o'clock. I can do that.
All right.
The wife works the night shift tomorrow. I can be there. I can do that.
There we go.
I will go with you.
Sweet. It's
because
a threesome.
Yeah. Well, actually, let me talk to the wife about it. Let me talk to, because not because I can't go when she's not around, but I might not be allowed to see this movie without her, because I think she's been looking forward to this one too.
Oh, yeah.
Although I tried to get her to watch the old Mad Max movies.
Yeah.
Weren't going to happen.
Huh.
Her theory is basically any movie made before 1996, it sucks. Not because of content, not because of actors, not because of story. It sucks because the picture quality is not up to par. So when I tried to get her to watch the original Mad Max, which I believe is 1978 or 1979,
yeah,
which is an older movie, she weren't having it because it was grainy and, you know, it's not high def and the picture quality is a little bit sketchy.
Right.
So, but she seemed really excited about this new Mad Max movie, so... If that's the case, I might not have permission to go watch that without my wife.
Gotcha. You know, it's interesting because I think we're spoiled these days with freaking HD, 4K, 3D, fucking crazy special effects. And I get the argument. I mean, I'm kind of a movie buff somewhat and kind of a fanboy. So I have no problem watching Star Wars over and over.
Right.
The original three movies. 4, 5, and 6.
Mm-hmm. Even the undigitally remastered.
Yeah, I prefer the non-digitally refucked.
Right.
Think about it. With porn these days, could you imagine jerking off to a Playboy again?
No.
Like, you wouldn't even be able to do the deed.
Could you imagine giving a kid a Playboy?
No?
Like some high school.
Jesus Christ, man.
You're a dick. I'm saying, like, can you, like, teenagers today, can you imagine, like, if they, that all they could get their hands on was a Playboy? Or after the internet experience.
I thought you meant, like, I really meant,
can you, let's go buy some Playboys and hand them out at the fucking playground.
I didn't know where you were going with that.
I'm saying, like, kids today have no idea. They don't know the struggle.
Right.
You know what I mean? They don't know the struggle.
The struggle was real.
The struggle was real.
Back in the day.
It was. Not only was it real. Dude, not only did all we have was, wow, we had a little more than just Playboy. Once I fucking saw a Hustler, that was it. Like, Playboy was obsolete at that point. You know?
Right. Oh, yeah.
Because it's just like with anything. It, you know, you get desensitized and you can't go back.
Yeah.
But not only was that all we had was magazines, but those were fucking hard to come by. Those were not easy to get your hands on. Like, the internet, dude, every fucking kid on the planet has got a smartphone in their hand. And Pornhub is literally a Google fucking click away.
Yeah. Kind of pisses me off.
Yeah, it's kind of fucked up.
Because I remember back in the day, like, fast forwarding from the porno mag days.
To the VHS?
To, well, yeah, VHS, but then the dial-up internet. And I remember waiting for an image to load.
Right.
And you'd be like, you'd be done before the image even got done loading. And that's one picture. It's like, please get down to the nipple within the next, like, 5 seconds. It's like, damn it, missed again. Like,
yeah, even when the internet, all you had was photos, pictures.
Yeah.
It was like a magazine on screen.
And then you had, like, real media clips, which, you know, started to come out in the dial-up days. Real media was like a video format that came out before MP4, AVI, DivX, all those, like,
right,
you know, high quality videos. You had to have real player. But yeah, I remember those days. You had to, like, warm it up like an oven. If you wanted to look at porn, you'd have to start it like 45 minutes right before you actually wanted to look at
yeah
it, so it was
get
ready.
To fire it up, go mow the lawn, do yeah some laundry, like, yeah, get the dishes
oven
put away, right.
Yeah. But
lock all the doors, pull the shades.
Yeah. Get your happy sock ready. Wow, this is taking a
horrible
turn
for the
worst.
Yeah. Well, we were discussing film quality.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just we got onto porn somehow. Well, of course we got onto porn. But so yeah, so I tried to get her to watch Mad Max, and it was a no go because the grainy, right, poor quality pictures, she just ain't having it.
Now, she will not watch anything black and white.
Okay, correct? That was the case.
Yeah?
Which pissed me off, right? Do you realize she'd never watched,
Oh, here we go.
Oh, yeah. Wizard of Oz. She'd never watched Wizard of Oz because the first, 5-10 minutes or so of the movie is in black and white.
Yeah.
I even said to her, I said, you do know that it turns to color eventually, right? Like, you get what you want.
Yeah.
I don't care. I ain't watching black and white. I want to say I beat her down because that would sound wrong, but I finally got her to watch Schindler's List.
Ooh.
Which I told her, I said,
God damn,
one of the best movies ever made on planet Earth, right? One of the greatest movies ever fucking conceived. You have to watch it. You can't go throughout your life and die not having ever watched Schindler's List. She, of course, loved the fucking movie, bawled her eyes off. It hit every emotional string it could hit. And I think I broke the black and white thing. I think more open to a black and white movie than she would have been before.
Right.
Because I told her, I said, you realize how much you're missing out on by not watching black and white? I mean, there's a lot of good movies that are done in black and white that are fucking awesome movies.
So many, yeah.
Yeah. So that's off the table now.
Okay.
But I still can't get her to watch a movie that was, you know, like
pre-2000.
Late 90s, mid-late 90s.
Right.
You know, when picture quality started to improve a little bit, you know, when you started getting your first high-definition stuff and
yeah,
the early high-def stuff. But, yeah. So Mad Max was, and she, you know, she started while she didn't like the idea of it, the storyline. But I, you know, this new Mad Max, it just looks exciting and explosive and just action-packed. And I think you know, they're selling it right, so.
Yeah, it's definitely a dude film.
I want to see it because I've heard so many mixed things about it. It's not a remake, but it's not a sequel, and it's not a prequel. It's like a standalone movie, but why'd they name the guy Max then? Like, if it's a standalone right. movie,
it's
like,
no,
why
no, no, it's a different Max.
Right, yeah, it's another Max in the post-apocalyptic
in the same world,
right.
In the same time frame, just yeah. different Max.
That don't
Nothing
make no
to do
sense.
With the other Max, yeah.
So I'm definitely down for. I mean, you know, I'm a super geek, and that's definitely my kind of sci-fi. That yeah. post-apocalyptic stuff.
Well, hopefully, you can get out for it.
That would be nice. I will test the waters tonight. I'll stick a toe in and see how that feels.
It's not going to be like too awkward, is it? Though, like knowing that, like Jeremy and I, this was kind of like our thing.
You mean, am I going to feel like a third wheel? Like I'm bogarting on your
right.
date? Probably. I might sit alone. Like, I'll just leave you two alone, and I'll go sit by myself.
Like, two rows behind us and
right.
cry. Throw popcorn at us occasionally.
Sobbing.
Yeah.
You used to be my friend.
Well, hopefully we can get Dickbag on the podcast next week to talk about Mad Max and...
Age of Ultron.
Age of Voltron.
Age of Voltron. That's you're like desecrating the fucking Marvel movies.
I know. I don't know. And a thought I had, which I might as well just throw it out there because our listeners know anyway that we're full of shit 90% of the time and we never deliver on promises. But I was thinking maybe next week, if we do have Jeremy on, we can do part of the podcast, record it at Fuddruckers, part or all.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't want to eat that shit again.
Too bad.
What the fuck you mean too bad?
Well, I was just thinking...
How about the week after that we do the fucking... We'll smoke some Marbreds while we do the podcast.
Okay.
Yeah, you down for lighting
Why
up?
Not?
Yeah, you're going to light up
you're
a Marbred?
You're comparing Fuddruckers to taking up smoking. Well, I thought it'd be cool to do a live podcast, possibly even where people could just like pop in and say hi, hop on the mic for a minute, which nobody probably will.
Right.
Because nobody loves us, but I couldn't really think of any other place. It seems like a good place to sit and do that.
You might want to ask them if we can.
No, fuck that.
No, just show up.
Just show up, start setting up equipment, and then just sit down and do it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
They might kick us out for that.
They might, but it would be
But Well, recorded. They might be Mormon, too, so they might not say a word to us.
I think they are Mormon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe. We'll discuss that. I don't right. know. I mean, we can get pretty nasty, this podcast, and I don't know if Fuddruckers is the place we want to be. We're setting up here at Fuddruckers.
Yeah. Maybe we'll record it at Peppers.
Yeah. It'd be more appropriate, really. Right. I feel like it would be, at least. We'd be more accepted there.
Probably.
Like the little kids getting their hamburgers and shit while we're over there fucking talking about porn and, you know, 90s porn versus 2012 porn. Fuck it. You know,
yeah.
That's kind of, I don't know. Just saying.
See. It's an idea. I was throwing it out there.
All right. Well, maybe. We'll discuss it. We'll have a group meeting and we'll get all the producers, the PR guy. We'll get everybody together.
It's gonna be a nightmare. Yeah, we'll have to fly anywhere. People out
yeah.
for this.
Have a conference.
Yeah. But I don't know, maybe next week show up at Fuddruckers at 6 o'clock and we probably won't be there.
Yeah, it's a good chance.
Not that anybody's going to go anyway, so fucking
right.
whatever.
Fuddruckers would be happy that everybody's like, fuck it, I'm here, might as well get a burger.
That's right. So, I don't know, I think that's pretty much all we got for the show this week.
It is.
Other than fuck you, Jeremy.
Right. And another fuck you, Jeremy. Right.
Thanks for listening.
I'll show you my privates for 45 an hour.
For the right cost, yeah.
Thanks for listening. If you like the show, let people know. Spread the word. Don't forget to like our Facebook page. Check out our YouTube channel and follow us on Twitter. If you have any questions or things you'd like to hear on the show, let us know by emailing us at twodowneastdudes@gmail.com. That's the number 2, downeastdudes@gmail.com. If you'd like to contribute to the show, please click on the Amazon banner on our website at www.twodowneastdudes.com. Again, that's the number 2, downeastdudes.com. It doesn't cost any more, but we do get a small percentage of the purchase price. You can also feel free to donate to us directly via our PayPal link on the website. Come on, dude!